And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. You know what? I really think because of JP's most excellent work here, I've got the phone lines figured out. Thanks, JP. The phone number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Maybe I can make up for lost time for not being able to take phone calls for the last few weeks. Well, I know you have really important issues that need to be addressed. Otherwise, if nobody calls on this program, which is called Health Essentials, I've got like a couple of articles that I read last night that I find so interesting and fascinating. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to share the first one to you. Or with you is what I meant to say. Okay. I don't always get these titles right because some of them come from foreign journals. But here's the main idea they're trying to get across. And here's kind of the idea. Accelerated recovery and fewer complications after heart surgery with extra vitamin C. So when I read that, I thought to myself, okay, what did they do? Because what they're talking about is what can we do to change the outcome of people that are going to get heart surgery. So let me read this to you. It's pretty brief. Okay, here's the study. Cardiologists from Iran University of Medical Sciences, they experimented with 290 patients that were undergoing heart surgery. So, you realize the situation here. If you're going to have heart surgery, you got a major problem that needs to be corrected. I mean, if it can be corrected surgically, that's what they're going to do. Okay, so I don't think 290 people is a small amount. So I'm instantly liking this. So here's what they did. Some of these patients, I'm just going to say half of them, what they did was they gave them 2,000 milligrams, or if you want to say 2 grams, of vitamin C through an IV. IV is just the abbreviation for intravenous, you know, where they take a needle connected to a bag with vitamin C and they tap into your vein. And so what they do is they give you this infusion of vitamin C. So here's what they did. Some of these patients received 2 grams of vitamin C through an IV just before the operation. Okay, so they did that one time. And then they took 1 gram of vitamin C daily for the first 4 days after the procedure. Oh, interesting. So here's what they did. Some of the patients got vitamin C intravenously, and some did not. And here's how they're going to compare that. So after the heart surgery, patients are going to go immediately to the ICU, or intensive care unit, for a few days, and then they want to be able to move them just to the regular nursing ward that maybe is not quite as critical. Of course, they're watching them. They want to make sure that they respond well to the surgical procedure. They want to give them every chance to heal. I don't even know of a heart procedure that's not major. I mean, yeah, you could say just snaking a stent or something up a vein is not that, but it's stressful to the body. You have to understand, all these require significant healing and energy from your immune system. Okay, so the researchers recorded whether supplementation shortened the stay in the ICU or the nursing ward, and whether supplementation reduced the risk of complications. Now, I like that part. Okay, here's the results right here. Vitamin C supplementation reduced the number of hours that doctors had to intubate the subjects. What that means is doctors would put a tube down the patient's lungs to pump out all this gunky fluid so they won't drown. And maybe the other thing that might be a bit gross is they're trying to pump out all the blood that leaks into the lungs so the patients can continue to breathe. Now, you know as well as I do, if you think about backwards with all the COVID talk, that is the last thing that you want, is to be so sick they had to put a tube or put a vent on you. You just don't want that. Okay, supplementation reduced the amount of fluid. Oh, this is interesting. I don't think I picked up on that one. when they gave vitamin C, they didn't have as much fluid to pump out of the lungs during the first 24 hours after the surgery. So that's point number one. Okay, here's a side point. Going back to intubation, they're saying it's a serious procedure that increases the risk of adverse events such as infection and death. Yeah, I don't think I like the sound of either infection in the lungs or death, which forever and a day, that's been the number one cause of death when somebody's elderly. Yeah, they develop pneumonia, they can't breathe because their lungs fill up, and they just pass away in their sleep. I think the old term is pneumonia is the elderly person's best friend. That would be a good way to go, right? It says it's not surprising that supplementation with vitamin C reduced the risk. I think it is surprising, by a factor of three. Vitamins, they recovered three times faster. Isn't that amazing? I have a chart right here. I'm not going to go over every bit of it. Okay, it says, thanks to supplementation, the test subjects were able to go home 2 days earlier than the test subjects. If that doesn't speak volumes about healing and repair and trying to get a person back to a much better state, if you leave the hospital 2 days earlier compared to not getting vitamin C, I mean, shouldn't this become standard protocol? This comes from the... Here's the name of the journal. Anesthesia and Pain in Medicine, 2015, February 19th, volume 5.1. After I read stuff like this, and you start reading that vitamin C supplementation can greatly decrease post-operative complications, such as infections or needing intubation, or the length of stay in the hospital undergoing cardiac surgery. Well, if you read this information to somebody that was just about ready to show up at the hospital and get a heart procedure done, surgery, and they said, sir, you're scheduled for a heart procedure this time next week. Would you like to take an IV of vitamin C the day before and then take 1,000 milligrams a day for 4 days after the surgery? Would you like to do that? And of course the patient says, well, why would I want to do that? Well, you're going to have three times fewer infections if you do that. And we will not have to shove a tube down each lung to suck the blood and the fluid out of your lungs. And you will leave the hospital 2 days faster compared to people that don't. Now, the choice is yours, obviously, but you know, it's only going to be an extra $100,000 in medical cost if you don't. I'm just joking about that. But isn't that really what you want? I think the bottom line is you need to do what's in your best interest. And I don't know if it takes a genius to figure these things out, but there's so many spas around the area that will give you an infusion of vitamin C. Dude, what would prevent you from doing this? Do you have to have the okay of every person on the surgical team first to make sure? How do you even know if they've even read these articles? I always am so curious about how people arrive at their conclusions about which supplements to take or this or that. I asked, what was the woman that I asked? Maybe it was Thursday. The doctor made a comment about her liver. And I said, well, how did the doctor determine you had a liver issue? And she said, just their opinion. I said, did they look at your labs? She said, no. I said, did they feel your liver? No. Did they talk to you about your diet? No. Did they ask you about symptoms? No. It was just, you need this shot, you know, to lower cholesterol or whatever it was. Anyway, I find that so interesting. So to me, what does vitamin C do? Well, put simply, it's essential. It is an essential vitamin that the human body requires. So that kind of begs the question, is there such a thing as an optimal dose to promote healing and repair? Well, yes. In this study, it's very, very interesting. They only gave 2 grams intravenously. I'm just curious what would have happened if they gave 5 grams. I remember Miss Shirley gave me a book one time, and in the book, I've forgotten the title of the book, but it's all about vitamin C and a doctor using it to cure uncurable patients that everybody else gave up on. I'm always intrigued by books and studies and stories where a person has been given up on. They're turned over to hospice. There's no longer any hope. But they come up with some treatment that's just completely crazy, according to modern medicine, like intravenous vitamin C. And all of a sudden, the body's able to muster all its defenses. The immune system becomes more robust. It's able to actually drive toward the infection or the problem and help the body resolve it. I don't know if this makes sense to you or not, but you can have an immune system that's really robust. It works very efficiently. It does its job in a fabulous manner. Or, what's the flip side of the coin? You could have an immune system that's just flat out underperforming. Okay? You could have an immune system that's so sluggish that you pretty much catch everything that comes along. Or, another way of saying this is, what if you get sick and you just can't get well? Well, is this really the most highly intellectual conversation that the immune system might be sluggish? Of course not. God has designed the body to heal itself, given the right circumstances. I'll tell you this. Here's the lesson that I've definitely learned the hard way over and over and over again. If somebody's got a chronic health problem and they just can't get well and they've tried everything, I'm going to give you a little secret clue here. You better look at cleaning up the gut. And when I say cleaning up the gut, what if somebody has chronic inflammatory arthritis for like 30 years and they don't really understand it? Well, what if they're really allergic to something like wheat or gluten, and no one's told them that, but they just suffer day after day, year after year, as their body deteriorates? Well, that's one of the ways that you clean up the gut and the immune system. You remove any obstacles to healing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Would you care to guess? I know I'm kind of rambling here, but unless somebody calls, I'm going to keep reading studies and I'm really trying to encourage you and give you good information, but if I said, what would you say is the most inflammatory producing foods that will mess you up? Well, I'd say it's wheat, corn, dairy, soy, peanuts, and obviously sugar, number one. If I had a nickel for every time I saw somebody heal when they gave up sugar, I would have a wheelbarrow full of nickels, and I'd be rich with nickels. The other thing is, I had a lady ask me yesterday, she said, what about a carnivore diet? I said, carnivore, it's like the ultimate elimination diet. Let's go to the phone lines here, okay? Good morning and welcome to the program. Are you there? Well, I thought I had everything. Are you there?
I can hear you.
Okay,
yes,
I'm
here.
Okay, thank you very much for your patience. There was one button that somebody had turned off. Was it me? Do you see how I was trying to pass the buck to somebody else there?
Yes, I caught that.
Okay, thanks for your patience. Well, I was just trying to be funny. Well, welcome to the program. This is Health Essentials. This is the last time I can talk to you this calendar year.
That's true. Well, I have several questions from things that you have said in the past, and I just need a little bit more information. You mentioned, I think it was even last week, about restoring the lungs, and I would like to know how to do that. I have COPD, and I keep myself in good health. I just got my blood work done on December the 2nd. So I have that in front of me if you have any questions.
Well, is there anything on your labs that really stands out as being high or low?
No.
Okay. Well, so much for that question.
I don't know. Well, the reason I say that is the doctor was very impressed with how good my cholesterol was, and we talked about, well, he spent an hour with me going over my results, but we still didn't get to some of the things, and there's still some things on the blood work that I don't understand.
Like what?
But all, well, like all these abbreviations.
Well, is there one that has an abbreviation that you don't understand, but when you look at the lab values, it's either high or low, meaning it's out of the normal range?
Yes.
Well, that's what I was referring to earlier.
Yeah, but he didn't seem to be concerned about that.
I could care less about that. I'm concerned about you. These are your labs. These are measurements of your body. You know why he's not concerned? Because it's not his.
Okay, well, okay.
I have patients tell me all the time that they have, like, cysts and nodules in their liver, their thyroid, their kidneys, and the doctor says, I'm not really concerned. And I say, it's because it's not their liver. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, he has ordered a MTHFR test, which is a gene test. And when I go back in a couple of, well, about 3 weeks, I guess, to get those results, we're going to take time to go over some of these others that we didn't get to.
Well, what's your number one takeaway from what he said to you the other day?
Well, he told me that my cholesterol was in the top 1% of the nation, which was excellent. He said that I would never, because of the things I'm doing, and a lot of it is things that you have told us over time, he said I would never have cancer, and he said I would never have a stroke. And he didn't highlight any of the other things that were on my test, because, like I say, we had already spent an hour going over my medications that are prescribed, and also the supplements that I take. So I came away feeling pretty good.
Okay. But you have COPD.
Right. Okay. And we did not get to that issue.
Well, my philosophy is a little bit different. I tend to run toward the problems that need to get you back into good repair. And it's, you know how easy it is for me to compliment you? Some of these labs look great. Let's talk about the ones that are out of whack that need attention. How about that?
Right. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
All right.
The next time I go.
So, but what is the number one thing that you'd like me to do for you?
Well, I would like to know how I can restore my... Let me just read my little list. How to restore my lungs... I'd like to know what I look for my thyroid results on the blood work. I'd like to know how turmeric forte is good for the body. And I'd like to know about coffee and cocoa, how it affects my lungs, and if I have to drink decaf coffee the rest of my life.
Well,
those are my four main questions this morning.
Okay. Do you feel like you're asking a very little or a great amount? How about we just start tackling some of it? Because I don't know that I can, I don't know that it would be fair for me to devote like an entire hour just to one topic. So, but let me have a go with this right here. So, if you have COPD, let me just kind of say it very simply. The lung tissue, the respiratory system, is not working near as well as it should. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is, why don't we target? How do we get the body to heal something? And so, first and foremost, when the lungs themselves are weakened, we want to find a way, what can we do to help either supplement or an addition to the diet that would help greatly improve the condition of the lungs? And I would say, number one, I would avoid what are called mucus-forming foods. It's going to be sugar and dairy.
Okay. I do avoid.
And so the next thing is, your lungs are probably, if we measured them by weight, they would be 97% pure water. So are you really good at keeping your body well hydrated?
Probably not as good as I should be, but I am aware that I do need to do that, and so I do work at it. I have a filter machine that I filters my water.
Okay.
And I also buy that sparkling water just because sometimes with a meal or something, it's just something that gives a little flavor.
Okay.
And makes me drink more, you know.
Well, do you know if it has any chemicals added to it, like artificial sugar? I tend to think if they add artificial sugar to it, like Splenda or sucralose, I think that's really bad for the immune system.
It has no sugar or no added anything. I make sure of that.
All right. There is, I'm just going to jump right into it. There is a very unique amino acid. It's called NAC for short, or the long name is N-acetylcysteine. Have you ever heard of that?
I've seen NAC on my blood work, but I haven't heard what you just said.
Probably, it's not a blood work marker. This is an amino acid. I kind of doubt it's on the blood work. You're probably thinking about something else. But you're looking for there's a particular supplement. It's really an amino acid. It's a sulfur-bound amino acid called N-acetylcysteine. And so the body's main antioxidant that tries to keep you in good working order and promote healing of the lung tissue is called glutathione. And so what you do is, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was going to get you to spell it, but if it's not, it's not going to give me a, no.
Okay. Okay, N-acetylcysteine, let me spell it. Capital N. The word is acetyl. That's the next one. It's A-C-E-T-Y-L.
Okay.
And the third word is cysteine. C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E.
Okay, I made that two words.
Well,
was the first word?
the letter N. N as in no.
Okay. I made that into one word. Okay.
And I know this is probably everybody's rolling their eyes at me going, "Hey, Roy, you can't be doing all this." But I'm trying to honor you as much as I can. But what you really need is you need to get with a doctor that actually understands this and actually go through these protocols, because what you want to do is you want to heal your lungs. But N-acetylcysteine is an amino acid that can greatly help create an environment to help repair your lungs.
And how do I get that?
Well, I mentioned earlier, it's a supplement. So it's going to come probably in a bottle. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to make it simple, but obviously I'm making it not the right direction.
Well, I go see my lung, the pulmonary specialist this next week.
Well, what is your pulmonary?
So he would be the one I would talk to?
No. Well, let me ask you this. When you go to the pulmonologist, well, I'm sorry for saying that. Let me start over. What is your plan, or what is the plan of your pulmonologist that he's given to you to restore your lungs and get over the COPD? What has he told you?
He's given me a breather thing.
That's not really inhale. Okay. So,
but no,
nothing to really get you well, right?
Right.
He's just giving you like a rescue breathing device, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's why I mentioned the N-acetylcysteine. That's something that you could take in the form of a supplement. And what that does is it helps strengthen your lungs.
Okay.
There is an herb called mullein.
M-U-L-L-I-N?
E-I-N.
Okay.
Mullein. That is an herb that targets the healing and the repair of the lungs.
Okay.
I always use what it's called a protomorphogen glandular for the lungs, because that targets lung tissue. How do we get them to heal? How do we get them stronger? And so I would say the lungs do much better when you have plenty of cod liver oil and magnesium in your diet. You may need to supplement with those.
Okay, I have magnesium and not cod liver oil, though.
I don't even know how a person could say they have radiant health without taking cod liver oil. I think it might be impossible.
Oh, okay. How much should it take?
Well, I'm going to let you research that or let your doctor research it, but I take 6 grams a day. That's what I take.
Okay. All right.
I took 3 grams this morning, but I love the stuff. Mm-hmm. Think of it as, even if I bite it and chew it up in the gel caps, it has like a little bit of lemon oil that preserves it to keep it from turning rancid or spoiling. I think it tastes good. Sometimes I just chew the stuff up because I like the taste of it.
Well, I took cod liver oil as a kid. My mother always gave it to me growing up.
See, there's proof that your mother really did love you. You were the favorite daughter, weren't you?
Well, I was the only daughter, so...
You didn't have to say that. So give me one marker on your lab work that was out of range, and let's tackle that.
Well, tell me about, I don't know what my ferritin should be, but...
Tell me what the numbers are.
Well, the number was 24.4.
That's fine. That's a perfect number.
Okay.
But what I was saying was, look at one of them that's really out of range and tell me what that is.
Well, out of range, high or low?
Either way. Okay. I don't care.
Okay. What is this? This one's high. The BUN.
That means your kidneys are under tremendous stress. That's a big, big deal. Okay. So your lungs are the largest organ of detoxification in the body. Now, what they break down is a lot of gaseous waste. But your kidneys, on the other flip side of the coin, they are some of the most sophisticated filtration systems for the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so when your BUN, which is just an acronym for blood urea nitrogen, when that's high, that tells me that your kidneys are under very significant stress, and that is not good. What else is high or low?
May I tell you what the number is?
Sure.
The number is 24.32.
Okay, but that's still a very accurate. What is the one called GFR?
For non-African Americans,
I'm assuming
it's 74.95.
And so what that tells me is you've had some degree of damage to your kidneys. They're in need of repair.
Okay. So I need to talk to my doctor about repairing my kidneys.
Well,
right.
Okay. I think I live in reality. What are the chances of your doctor really explaining to you how to repair your kidneys or your lungs? Tell me what your expectations are. Do you really feel confident that they're going to be able to come up with a plan where they talk to you about what you're eating, how you're exercising, supplements, herbs, things to help your kidneys? Do you really think they'll do that? I mean,
well,
I've been doing
actually,
this for 34 years. I just haven't seen that. It's pretty rare. I like it when doctors do that, but I don't have any expectation that your doctor is going to come up with any type of a plan that's going to get you back to good. I don't mean that as a slam. I don't.
Right. I understand. I've been going to this doctor for about a year.
Well, that's plenty of time for him to come up with a plan, isn't it?
Well, actually, I've been seeing the PA, and I just saw him this last time with this blood work.
Well,
and I honestly believe that he believes in the body doing it naturally.
And how would you know that?
We've had. Oh, I don't know, just conversation we've had, and when he comes in. I'm real honest with him. I tell him that I go to a chiropractor, and I tell him where I get my different supplements and things from.
Why don't you go to the chiropractor and say, "Can you come up with a plan for me to restore my lungs, and how do I get my kidneys back working well again?"
Well, that's a good question.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day. You've got to be able to get some real information that's going to actually you can put into practice. If the doctor says, "Well, I love the idea of talking about vitamin C, but that's not really relevant," I don't know how that changes anything. So here's what I would tell you, and I'll just make it simple. Go to YouTube and type in Oxygen Advantage and start reading all about breathing exercises, because you should be doing those every single day. We've got to get your diaphragm much, much stronger. You've got to greatly increase your lung capacity where you can more efficiently breathe. So with COPD, that's one of the things that you can do to greatly help yourself. So you're probably exercising every day, aren't you?
I walk, and I try to breathe. I did get on YouTube and watch the guy that you told us, but I don't think I have found the exact right YouTube, because I need more, I guess, instruction from exactly how to take my breath in and so forth, make sure I'm getting it.
That's the channel bottom. Called Oxygen Advantage.
Okay.
If you type in Oxygen Advantage Deep Breathing Exercises, I think that'll get you there.
Okay. Because I really do want to do that. And I am walking and trying to breathe and as I walk and stuff. And I've started carrying little 2-pound weights.
I do recommend you breathe while you walk. I do.
Okay. Yeah, I have found that to be helpful.
I mean, it's kind of a bold statement to make that you should breathe while you walk, but I really agree with that.
Yeah, okay, good. We're on the same page.
Yes, ma'am. What you should do is you should go to YouTube and you should type in nebulized glutathione and COPD and see what videos you see. They're amazing.
Okay, now will you spell all of that for me?
Yes, nebulized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nebulized is NEBULIZED, nebulized. And the second word is glutathione. I was talking about that earlier with you. GLUTATHIONE, nebulized glutathione. Well, I tell you what, you got your work cut out for you. I've given you some good recommendations. And so here's the limitations of radio. I can't really simply put it all together, and I don't know what the takeaway is from your lab test. You just gave me like one or two markers, but please go to your doctors, ask them detailed questions, and just say, what is your plan to reverse the COPD? See what they say.
Okay. Yeah, I know you've told us to do that several times on different things, and so... and that's why I'm calling you now with the blood work and with appointments coming up, because I do want to know what to ask, because I do want to get...
Sure, just
you said one
very
about,
simply, just have the doctor say, Doctor, I'm glad I'm here today. Would it be too much trouble for you to explain to me, how do I rejuvenate my lungs? How do I heal my immune system? What's your best number one plan for restoring my body to good working order?
Okay.
I think that's all reasonable.
I think so. And if he doesn't have one, I'll go to a chiropractor.
Well, maybe you should call the chiropractor and say, what's your best plan to restore my lungs? Do you have any experience with that?
Okay.
I mean, just like you're questioning me, you should question the person that's able to take care of you. So wherever you live, ask questions, but please be the most curious woman of all time. Keep looking, reading, studying.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Glad to do that.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You have a good day.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. All right. There is a phone line once again open at 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I have 2 pinched nerves and 2 herniated discs, and also plantar fasciitis, and I was wondering what I should do about it.
Where are the pinched nerves and where are the discs that are problematic?
In my neck.
Okay.
And then it goes like the L shape of my back down to my 2 fingers, my index and my middle finger.
Now, these are just going to be my opinions without knowing a lot of details, but do you know what a neck traction is?
Yes, I do, and I do it.
Okay. Do you have like an over-the-door traction device you can just do at home, or do you lay down to do it?
I do.
Okay, perfect.
I do. I have over-the-door, and then I have one that I can lay and strap my head in and pump it up. And
I've got to admit, I'm really impressed with you so far. This is working out great. Does it help?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so let me switch gears just slightly. You can look all these things up that I'm telling you, but there are studies now that have come out and say, number one, if a person's got like a rotten disc in their back and they're bulging and they're causing massive problems, is there anything that can be done to rejuvenate those discs where they can start to return to normal? And what I'm just referring to is the concept of healing or rejuvenation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so there is a nutritional supplement. It comes from crab shells, shrimp shells. It's called glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate. Have you ever heard of that?
I take it.
Oh, my goodness. You're like three steps ahead of me at every turn.
Well, and so, I've been to you before.
Oh, but if you keep taking those things, then what they will do is they will help rebuild slowly over a period of time the disc to help get the pressure off of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Now,
but I didn't know if there's any exercises or anything that I should be doing to help it.
Well, you know what, the first thing that came to my mind, I didn't bring it up, but the one thing that I always try to do when somebody's got like a major spinal problem is I promote an exercise called a dead hang.
Okay, my son just told me about that at Christmas, that I should be hanging.
You're when I say hanging, I mean by your hands.
I know. He said put a bar up and hang.
Wow, your son is a genius. I like him. What's his first name?
Christian.
Christian. That's like the greatest name of all time.
Amen.
Okay, so doing dead hangs is one of those things that what you would do is you would practice it and let your body slowly adapt to getting stronger and stronger. I can't even tell you how many people I've seen with either bad necks, rotten shoulders, and horrible backs really rejuvenate and heal just with that one technique called the dead hang. And what you're doing is you just grab the pull-up bar or pipe that's hanging from the garage and you try to hang from it for as long as you can. Now, there's two or three ways to do it. You can do it with a narrow grip where your arms are in close, but I really like it a wide grip. I think that puts the most traction along the spine, but you're trying to reinvigorate the intervertebral disc in the joint. So you're taking glucosamine. Good. I would take cod liver oil if it were me.
Okay, I take the beef liver. You suggested that.
Well, I'm talking about cod liver oil.
Okay.
That would be an omega-3 fatty acid that has a very, very good ability to help decrease inflammation, meaning it helps the body repair.
Okay. Now, I do take krill oil, so should I stop the krill and do the cod?
You could probably use either one. I just love cod liver oil because it tends to be very, very effective. It works really, really well. So I tend to go with what works well. There's one formula that I use when there's like inflamed disc in the neck. It's called Cataplex ACP from Standard Process. But I love the stuff because it helps promote healing of all the cells in the body.
Do you carry that?
I do. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll make a road trip over to Jackson.
And so what would you say is the main problem that you're having as far as symptoms?
Well, the tingling in my two fingers, and it's just constant pain in my neck.
Well, and like under
my
those...
My husband tells me I'm a pain in his neck, but...
Wait, who tells you that?
My husband. Not really.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear him say that.
Yeah, no, he don't.
Is he in the background laughing right now?
Yes.
Okay, good. He's such a good sport, isn't he? Okay, so dead hangs, I would really work the next traction to see if we couldn't relieve that. If you could have your husband just take his thumbs and maybe some olive oil, he needs to start working all those knots and trigger points out of those neck muscles.
Okay.
Because that may end up being part of...
I'm down with that.
Well, it's... If I'm your doctor and I make the order to do that, he has to, right?
Right.
How many times a day do you think he should do that? Just out of curiosity.
At least three.
You know what? I was going to say four, but I could settle for three.
Oh, I'll always agree with the doctor.
That's right. Tell him I said so. But I'm not trying to be negative by what I'm fixing to say. It's just the way it is. It's reality. But I get to question every person that walks in the door that has a neck problem. They say, I've got ruptured disc. I got tingling. Well, what did the doctor say? Well, I need you to do injections. Okay, well, what happened? Well,
I had to have surgery, and I said no.
Well, and that's my next point I'm getting to. But I would say 80% of the time, I say, well, did the injections help? No, they made it worse. And then I'll ask them, well, what about the surgery? Did that correct it? Well, they said they hoped it would, but no, it hasn't done anything. I realize surgery is beneficial. But if we can get the body to marshal all its energies to help heal this disc and nerve problem that you've got. And so the reason I mentioned digging out those trigger points and those knots and trying to work them out, you're going to tell me real quick if some of the tingling begins to go away. And with the dead hangs, if it begins to go away. I really want you to stick with the dead hangs for a couple months. I really think.
And how long should I hang? Just as long as I can possibly hang?
I think you need to think in terms of probably 3 to 5 minutes a day. But okay. Obviously, you're going to have to break that up. And I'm just going to make up a number. What if it's 10 second intervals? You can only hold for 10 seconds. Okay. Well, we'll do 6 of those. That's a minute right there. And just spread them out over the course of the day. Okay. And so the other thing that I would do if it were me, just as a simple trial, is I would rub fresh lemon juice on the area of the neck where those nerves are being impinged, and then I would rub castor oil very frequently throughout the day. Now, I have found that a high sugar diet is just a complete disaster for getting the neck pain to go away, so I don't really have to sell you on that mindset, do I?
No, not at all.
So I think if you try those, sometimes, do you know what tea tree oil is?
Absolutely.
If you had like an area on your neck that was very painful, you might even just try taking one drop of tea tree oil and just rubbing it directly on that area.
Okay.
There's a lot of people, they'll take a supplement just made of Boswellia, and sometimes that's very, very good as an anti-inflammatory. And I like it also because it's not like Tylenol or Advil. That can literally destroy the liver, the kidneys, or the lining of the gut.
Right.
I mean, I don't even want to give a woman ibuprofen because it's going to destroy her kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
Or the lining of the gut. Just kind of take your pick. And you may, you know, all these drug treatments, sometimes you may have to spend a year trying to rebuild your body just after one course of a drug treatment because of all the damage it does to your body.
Right.
So, yeah, if you can get your body to heal and repair, that is really the very best thing. Now, I'm going to tell you one more that I would do. Now, this one is not going to make logical sense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if I had a bad disc that was in bad pain, I would be taking shots of aloe vera juice all day long every day.
Really? No,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Well, I wish I could point you towards some ultra-scientific article which would make us all look really intelligent by going, yes, the studies show this. And if you have a bulging disc, obviously you should have. But aloe vera juice, I am convinced it really helps heal the disc.
Okay.
So I know that's not scientific.
The plantar fasciitis too?
Well, the plantar fasciitis, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do several things. You remember how your husband said he wanted to rub and massage your neck to work the ropey knots out 4 times a day?
Of course.
If he could, man, did I say something funny? I'm trying to be very serious and economical with my thought. So if he could start rubbing and massaging the feet, and then what I want you to do is rub lemon juice and castor oil on them. Or another way of doing it is every night when you go to bed, generously rub castor oil all over your feet and then cover them with a sock.
Okay.
And then
That's
I know I'm saying this like down the road, but the more that you're able to walk barefooted outside in the grass, the less plantar.
I most definitely ground. I like grounding.
Good.
So, yes, I do that.
But you probably need to be stretching your Achilles, your gastrocnemius, your soleus muscles. What you could do is you could go to YouTube and type in, what are the best stretches and exercises for plantar fasciitis?
Okay.
And can I ask you one last question?
Yes, can I ask you one last question, too?
Yes, you first. Ladies first.
Okay. I heard that Benadryl is so bad for you and from you. And I cannot sleep at night unless I take a Benadryl.
Okay.
And I do my magnesium. I do all of the other stuff as well.
Let me ask you this.
I'm in that menopausal, you know, that I just wake up at 3 o'clock wide awake.
Okay. How much stress are you under? That's probably a stupid question.
On a scale from 1 to 10, at least 9.
And so you have things that are currently going on in your stress that are, I mean, your life that are stressful, correct?
Yes.
How much of this is health?
How much has...
How much of your stress is because of health issues?
Oh, it's just my neck and pinched nerves.
Is that the biggest part of your stress?
No.
Mm-mm. You have, that means there's other
That's
issues in your life.
That's the least amount, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And so... most likely, if you wake up wide awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and you just can't go back to sleep, that's just your body's giving you this inappropriate surge of adrenaline and maybe some cortisol. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? Have you ever heard of an herb? It's a state flower of California. It's called the California poppy.
Poppy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes, if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you just feel horrible, and your body is aching, you might actually try some California poppy and just play with the dose of it. It's either that or...
Do you have some of that on hand as well?
I don't know that I do. I use it occasionally, but it can help really relax all the tremendous tension in the body. Another simple experiment that you could try maybe today, I don't know where you live, but do you live in the Tyler, Longview area?
Chandler?
Okay. There's some strange people that live over there. You know that, don't you?
I love it here.
I'm just joking about that. There's some great people in Chandler. Are you
yes.
kidding? That's almost my most favorite location to go fishing on Lake Palestine.
I'm sure.
I don't want anybody knowing about that, though, because it's my secret location.
That's why all the cars are lined up on the highway.
Oh, you mean they already know? Great. Yeah. I knew there was a reason why I wasn't successful last time. So there's an herb called passion flower.
Okay.
It's not going to hurt you just to do a simple experiment. And you may need to take about 8 capsules of just passion flower. It should be pretty cheap and straightforward. You know what it's made of? It's made of a flower. It kind of grows like a vine on the back wall. Actually, I see these things when I go for walks in the wood. I'll see them growing here and there along the side of the road. It's passion flower. And so if you buy a capsule, let's just say they have 120 capsules in there from the health food store, and you may have to try about 8 capsules. I don't think that's overdoing it. I'm just trying to tell you that may be the Goldilocks just right dose to get the job done. But you might try to take
the timeline that I should use to take one before I go to bed.
Bedtime.
Like so, an hour before or just right
after? Sure, that's fine. Either one will work. We're going to have to experiment and find out which way works the best.
Okay.
And so passion flower, you can get that easily. That'd be much easier to procure over California poppy, I'm sure. And so if you pop about 8 capsules, take it with plenty of water. If you do it an hour before bedtime, or I might even go 30 minutes before bedtime, just see if that increases the ability to more deeply relax and sleep throughout the night. You might even try taking a little bit of castor oil and kind of rubbing it over the liver. And I realize castor oil is such a thick oil, it's just not easy to deal with. I mean, it's easy to deal with, but it's just so thick and it takes a while to soak in, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But you can put these things...
I put it on my hair for hair growth.
Does it work?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you'll rub it on the back of your neck, we'll see if it makes hair grow there. No, I'm only teasing about that. But what castor oil does a great job of, it increases lymphatic blood flow and circulation to the area. That's exactly what you want. You need the body to come there and heal the area. That's really one of the main jobs of the immune system, is to go to any area of injury, remove the damaged tissue, so your body can replace it with healthy, strong, vibrant tissues.
Absolutely.
And one last thing. Sorry, I know I keep adding on here. You need to try only having protein for supper and see if that gets you to sleep much deeper. And I don't want you to think that I'm scolding you over the Benadryl issue. I think we're on the same page on the topic. You're telling me that you don't want to be overly reliant upon it for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Now, I'm pretty good about guessing ages, but are you like 35?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit older, 35. I'm in menopause.
Oh, I forgot that detail. Well, the point I'm getting to is Benadryl is probably the number one drug that leads to the development of Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yep.
And so I don't mean that to be mean to you or cruel. But, well, I mean, the truth of it is, I would rather hear the truth and say, okay, what am I going to do that's going to be different? Because I can't. There's some people that don't. They don't want to hear the truth. But you
I
do.
I want to hear it.
Yes, ma'am. You're a smart cookie. And so try those things right there. But the sleep issue is going to have to be resolved. But if you try only eating a high-protein supper, that may produce very interesting results within your entire physiology, from your hormone balance to how your nervous system works at night. I started to say the genitourinary system. I don't know how many times you get up to go to the bathroom.
Just once, not really.
Okay. Well, that's not a problem then. So just tell me if all of a sudden your system begins to heal differently, if you had maybe more of a carnivore evening meal. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes. And that's kind of what I have, but I do like a lot of vegetables.
Well, have a lot of vegetables at lunch.
Okay.
And I know there's always a point where a person could say, I don't like this and don't like that, but this is just a very simple experiment to see how your body likes it. So what if your husband, does he actually have time to cook since he's doing all these massages?
No, not really.
I didn't think so. So you might even try like a salmon fillet for supper.
I love salmon. Yes, I'm a big salmon eater.
And it's like so easy on the body to digest, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I think you've got plenty of things to work on. I think with bulging disc and the tingling, that would drive me bonkers.
It does.
So I would really hit the dead hangs and just play with that. There's so many videos on YouTube that you could look at for instructions to fine-tune and improve how you do that.
Yes. Hey, Dr. Morgan, since my husband just walked back in, could you reiterate about the 4 times a day massages?
Ma'am, I have no recollection of that recommendation. That guy's in the clear. Now, it's different, though, if he says, you know what? I had this strange idea pop into my head. I should be massaging you 3 to 4 times a day to help work the tension out of your neck so you could heal. And that's going to save us money.
Oh, there, that got his attention.
You mean he perked up on that one?
You know it.
Did your husband know I'm the top financial consultant in East Texas?
Yes.
I try to save people money, and this is one of the ways.
Exactly. Well, you do save a lot of money
for people because
of your advice.
Well, you know what, we could make jokes about this and that, but my wish is not to spend every penny that you've earned in your entire life on health problems and diseases. So
exactly, mine too.
That's right. Choose to be strong and healthy. So I'm really proud of you. Let me know how it all works out.
All right. Well, you have a happy new year, Dr.
Oh, thank you so much. You too. That's so sweet of you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Okay, there's time for one more call. There's just a few minutes left. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Dr. Morgan. My wife and I are in our 70s, and we're more and more concerned about memory loss. And we'd like to know if you could have any comments for us on Prevagen or something similar to that. Is that worthwhile considering? Or
I'm really on the fence on Prevagen. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people use it over the last, 20 years or so. And I'm not really totally convinced and sold on it. I can tell you what I'm sold on.
Sure.
I'm sold on daily walking because I can read the studies on people that walk. And what you want is you want to get more blood flow and more oxygen to the brain.
Okay.
And so if you have a daily exercise routine, I think that's in your best interest. It probably also goes without saying, the more sugar and junk food you eat, the worse the memory is.
Okay.
But what I do like to kind of sharpen the memory, man, I love cod liver oil. I think every human being that wants to age gracefully and avoid all the horrific health problems, if they're taking cod liver oil, they're taking something that really helps change the dynamics of how they age. It's really a godsend.
How much? About how much today?
Well, I take 6 grams a day. That's just what I'm. That's what I like. I've kind of used myself as a guinea pig, and so I know there's other factors. Like, are either one of you or your wife taking blood thinners at all?
No, we're not.
Okay, excellent. So, me, I like taking 6 grams a day. I take 3 1,000 milligram gel caps in the morning. I've already done that, and I'll probably take 3 later today.
Okay, all right. And one other quick question. We like cherries. You've talked about cherries.
Oh yeah, good.
We have a cherry concentrate capsule. Is that okay? And that
it sure is. There? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That's actually I'm kind of very very fond of a type of an herbal tea. It comes from a flower. It's called hibiscus tea. But I did the same thing as what you're doing right now. I just take a spoonful of the cherry powder, put it in there, stir it up, and drink it.
Right.
So perfect, way to go.
And one other quick question. My wife has kind of a dry tongue at night especially. She says she doesn't sleep with her mouth open.
She does.
Okay.
What she may do is, does she sleep on her side?
Yes, she does.
She may have to take a feather pillow and just kind of bunch it up and push it up under her chin to keep her jaw from coming open.
Okay.
And see if that remedies the situation. But do you ever hear her breathe with her mouth open?
Actually, I do.
Okay. So, and I wasn't trying to be rude by saying that, but I can tell you this. One of the greatest remedies for a dry mouth of all time is taking cod liver oil.
Okay, right back to cod liver oil.
Well, yeah, and there was one study that was done recently, and they showed people that have the highest concentration of cod liver oil in their red blood cells, they have a 95% reduced risk of all-cause mortality. And, of course, when I read those things, I think, is there any drug that can do that? And I go, no. So cod liver oil.
Okay, great. All right.
Good deal, buddy.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for your phone call, and I hope you have a great new year, both you and your wife.
Thank you, and you have a blessed day.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Okay, thank you very much for tuning in this Saturday morning. Lord willing, only with his blessing will I be here at this time next week, and it'll be a brand new year.